It's the Mike Tech Show, show number 374. This show is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Please visit techpodcast.com. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Mike Smith. Thank you very much for downloading and subscribing to the show. Please visit the main website at miketechshow.com. You can email me suggestions for future show topics or any question. My email address is miketechshow@gmail.com. You can leave me a voicemail message. The phone number is 240-949-2450, and that's Mike Tech Show, all one word, on Skype. Follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/Mike Tech Show. Send me a friend request for Facebook, facebook.com/Mike Tech Show. And that's how you find out. Like tonight, I'm recording an hour early as opposed to 8 p.m. Eastern time. I'm on at 7. I have a very hectic schedule for Friday and this weekend. So the only way that I can get the show out and get it edited and posted was to start early, and there'll be no post show tonight. And what I'm going to do is edit the show, get it posted up as quickly as possible, and then get on with what I have tomorrow, which is just an incredibly busy day. So let's get started. I have a lot to cover. A few announcements first. I had a great time giving a presentation to the Ewing Computer Learning Center on Tuesday afternoon, and it was received very well. Had a good time. Welcome to all the new listeners from the Computer Learning Center. And Sal, who invited me to speak there, recorded my presentation, has broke it down into 15-minute segments, and is uploading it to YouTube. As soon as that's all finished, I will make sure to communicate those links so you can take a look at my presentation. If you go to my website and scroll down a little bit, I posted all the links, and you can see there is a massive amount of utilities and links, and I've talked about all of them in previous shows. But if you want to hear it again in an accumulation in one big presentation, then go ahead and take a look at those videos. Another announcement, I am very pleased to announce that I will be the SIG leader, special interest group, for a new group formed at the Philadelphia Area Computer Society, which meets the third Saturday of every month in Willow Grove. I'll have a link in the show notes. I will be the leader of the Windows Tips and Tricks SIG, and literally talking about everything that we talk about on the show and going further. It starts at 1:15 and will go till 3 o'clock. There's nobody after the 3 o'clock session in the main room, so if we go longer and I can take questions, it's going to be a lot of fun, and I hope to be recording those and posting them up to YouTube. So look for that down the road. And of course, the first meeting of that SIG will be Saturday, September 17th. If you are in the area, please come out and join me and say hello. It's going to be a lot of fun. And I intend to take that SIG and run with it and do lots of really cool things. So I'm looking forward to it. Recorded a really good Tech Vets last night. Carrie and I really hit it on all cylinders. We talked about a lot of good stuff. That was show number 59. So that's at tech-vets.com. I want to first discuss an error that I came across from a new client, which, by the way, I obtained via Twitter. Someone tweeted that they were having problems in an area that I service, And then someone read that and retweeted it and included me and said for them to contact me. So we hooked up and I was over their house. The error was every time the user was trying to launch Office application, whether it be Word, Excel, or PowerPoint, he would get the side-by-side configuration error. He also started getting it when he would open a PDF, when Adobe Acrobat was trying to load. I did everything. I Googled for hours and hours. I tried everything. I completely uninstalled Office. I reinstalled it from a known good installation on one of my external drives that I've used over and over, so there's not a problem with that installation, and we still got the error. I made sure all the Windows updates, it's Windows 7 Home Premium 64-bit. All of the things, there were fixes recommended on the Visual C++ redistributable files, and I uninstalled them, reinstalled them. I started pulling my hair out to the point where it's not worth it to go down any further. So my client is backing up his data, and we are resetting everything to the factory defaults. It's a compact laptop, a little older. There is a recovery partition on the drive, so we're just going to redo the system. It's not worth any more time to try to solve this, but I'm throwing it out there because if you ran into that and solved it, I would like to know, because I don't like redoing a system. That's always my last resort, but I've already burned way too many hours on this, and it would have been easier for me to redo the system from scratch up front had I known. The client had never backed up his data and did not have a drive, so I had him go purchase an external drive, and he's backed up the data. On Monday, I'm going to go back, and I'm going to reinstall Windows, get Outlook reinstalled, make sure everything's fine, start copying the data back. I should be done in a couple hours and I'll be good to go. So if you have any insight into that side-by-side configuration error, please email me because I want to hear suggestions. Another thing I ran into on new systems now being purchased, whether it's from Dell or HP, I ran into this. Internet Explorer 9 is being installed. Now, I understand progress and you want the latest and greatest when you buy a computer, but that presents a problem for clients of mine that the corporate offices have websites that do not support Internet Explorer 9. And you say, how can that be in this day and age, in this time? Well, it happens. These are huge organizations where I consult for their agents. The time for development, I understand that if they got to make changes, it takes a lot of time. I mean, they didn't even support Windows 7 though only a couple months ago. So think of the challenges when we had to go buy a new computer. I had to downgrade it to XP. Very difficult. The key here, and I keep running into this more often than you would think, that you cannot have Internet Explorer 9. It is incompatible with many, many companies, not just, I mean, I have three clients, three different companies that you cannot use Internet Explorer 9. Two of them I now uncovered with a Dell laptop and an HP laptop. One good thing, if you go to Programs and Features and then you click on to view the Windows updates, you go to Microsoft Windows section and you will see Microsoft Internet Explorer 9, right click on it, and you can uninstall it. You'll be asked to reboot. When you reboot, you are left with Internet Explorer 8, which is fine for my clients. The good thing is it's an easy fix. The bad thing, it kind of snuck in and slipped by me, and we found out over the weekend when my client was on the road and trying to access the site to get his client information, and he couldn't view it because it was IE9 and it was not compatible. That's a problem that I ran into, and I always like to share those things. I want to get to some email here. And this first one is something I haven't heard about, never thought about. And this is from Peter, and he says, "Hi, Mike. Here is a link to an interesting security threat concerning multifunction printers." I was like, "Now, how can you have a security threat with multifunction printers?" Wait till you hear this. And I'm going to link this article. And it's a hidden security threat. Beware the office multifunction printer. Cyber criminals are always looking for easy ways to break into your network, whether at work or at home. In a talk at this summer's DEF CON 19 conference, security researcher Daryl Heland demonstrated various ways to compromise internet-ready consumer-grade multifunction printers. These include printers that can scan to a file, scan to email, and fax documents. I install these all the time for clients. And getting back to the article here, and the vulnerabilities he found are similar across all vendors. If you haven't taken the time to access the administration control panel webpage for your printer and change its default passwords, do so now. Unfortunately, that will only slow down a very persistent criminal. Boy, isn't this good news. For example, he demonstrated that if you did change the default Toshiba printer password from 123456 to something unique, a criminal can simply add an extra backslash to the URL to gain administrator access to the device. And he said that if you copy the URL from the HP OfficeJet printer login page and then add page equals to the end when you paste it back in, this will bypass any new passwords that have been added to these printers. This could let a hacker access sensitive documents that have been recently scanned or printed. On some of the printer administration webpage, basic coding flaws can also expose sensitive information such as passwords. With the HP OfficeJet multifunction page, Heelan said he was able to right-click the page in Firefox in order to see the plain text of the password normally hidden by black dots. The same, he said, was true for the Toshiba models he's tested. For office printers, internal address books are often used to route faxes and scan documents to the individual workstations. Heelan found that in order to access its address book, Canon requires an attacker to first have a cookie, which, if they are using a Google search to find the administration webpage over the internet, they would not necessarily have. But if you click to the homepage tab, Heelan said the computer will receive a cookie that allows you to retrieve the plain text address book from the printer. He goes on, at the end of his talk, Heelan announced the release of a new penetration testing tool called Praeda, P-R-A-E-D-A, which he said is Latin for to plunder spoils of war booty. The tool in the right hands can help an IT administrator discover multifunction printer vulnerabilities on their network with modules for each of the vendors cited above. The release of the tool undoubtedly put pressure on the printer manufacturers to patch or fix these multifunction printer problems entirely. And let's hope that they do that, because I have been installing these very multifunction printers for many of my clients that are small businesses that are right there for exactly what was being described in the article. I'll have a link to that. And I want to thank you, Peter, for bringing that to my attention so I can share with all of you. But it's something that I would have never thought of, a way to gain access to information using a security flaw for multifunction printers. This email is from Michael and titled Emergency Power Backup. Hi, Mike. As an electrical engineer and a longtime listener, I'd like to make a suggestion on your emergency power needs. A big and noisy gas generator is not necessarily the way to go. I have one, but hardly ever use it. Now I have two big car batteries in my utility closet with a cheap 2-kilowatt inverter from Harbor Freight and a battery charger from Home Depot. Crazy price on this inverter. These cheap ones are fine for the purpose, but your hi-fi stereo system might complain a bit. I don't notice anything when watching TV. So I'm going to have a link to this in power inverter. Now, when the power goes out, well, first I'm powered by a couple of well-placed UPS units in the house. Only the notebooks and monitors are and routing equipment will be plugged in here. And the TV, internet won't blink. Then, when the UPS gets tired, I bring the extension cord, also permanently stored with the batteries, into the house and plug these particular power strips into the inverter. Now, I'm going to be good for hours. I could run the numbers for you, give you some examples, but with minimal equipment, it should be good for 8 hours easily. I'm always running the satellite TV entertainment system, also, and chill the fridge sometimes because power will probably come back on soon. If the power still hasn't come back on, which it almost always does, then I drag out the gas generator to charge the batteries with the dedicated battery charger. I bought a fairly powerful battery charger so that it can charge as fast as possible while the generator is running and making all that noise. But I'll also have the fridge plugged in and everything else too. Pretty much, it's a cheap 5-kilowatt gas generator. So a simple solid-state solution to a common problem. The lights usually go out for a few hours, not days. And this battery-powered system can really fill the gap. Just remember to plug the battery charger into the wall once every couple months or more during storm season. Oh, and careful with those batteries. I installed a simple automotive inline fuse right at the terminals, but a screwdriver could still fall across the terminals and cause major damage. Protect things physically and electrical at all times. Remember, it might be dark and rainy when messing with this stuff. Some consultation with a knowledgeable person is advised. Thanks for the show. You are an amazing resource. Thank you very, very much for that. A very cool, inexpensive recommendation for fulfilling power requirements during emergency. And I was very lucky, as I mentioned last week, that during Irene, I was spared the power outage. A couple responses to last week's show where I mentioned about storing passwords in the cloud, and I mentioned KeePass in RoboForm. This is from Kate. And she says, KeePass is a free open source password manager which helps you to manage your passwords in a secure way. You can put all your passwords in one database which is locked with one master key or a key file. So you only have to remember one single master password or select the key file to unlock the whole database. The databases are encrypted using the best and most secure encryption algorithms currently known, AES and TwoFish. Mike, I use KeePass because it does not store anything in the cloud. So I was incorrect about KeePass. I have the file on my main PC. I also have the Android version of KeePass on my phone, and it's password protected. Nothing is stored in the cloud unless you take the database and put it in a Dropbox or something like that. KeePass has not been compromised. Kate, we were talking about that in the show last week, and it was LastPass that was compromised. KeePass, the database is stored locally. So that's really good. And Kate, thank you for telling me that. So this way I can share that. And that is definitely something that you should consider for saving your passwords and having it in an encrypted database stored in a secure manner. And you know how difficult it is with so many websites, so many applications, and you have to remember so many passwords. And we need a good, secure place to keep all of our passwords. Now, this is from Eric talking about RoboForm. And he says, I love RoboForm except for one reason, and it will keep me from purchasing from them again. When version 7 stops working due to my newer web browser from being too new, I will find a new program. Here is the reason. A ton of people were promised lifetime upgrades when they bought it. They went to a model that you pay for upgrades, which is okay if they grandfathered the people that were promised lifetime upgrades. So after a year of owning version 6 and 3 months of my second copy, I was able to get the 3-month one for free and had to complain to high heaven to get the 1-year-old license upgraded. I hear they will no longer do this. It is only a matter of time before someone comes and takes their angry customers. Maybe it will be LastPass. RoboForm has a cloud service now, and no, I would not want it out there either. If you want to make RoboForm tough to break into, get a YubiKey and then move the YubiKey's login to the long press of the button. YubiKey is a USB key that you can have two presses on it, a long one and a short one. The short one you just tap for a second and it will submit a password that you've pre-coded. The long one will present a second password. We've talked about YubiKeys in the past. I'm going to have a link to the website. Have it randomly generate one with complex characters and such. Then set this as your RoboForm master password. It will be annoying to have to insert this key every time, but no one will ever break into RoboForm or TrueCrypt with a 5-some character random password. Then inside RoboForm, use a complex random password inside that for each site. I have yet to do this, but the time is coming. I am getting telemarketers and scammers calling my do not call listed number, and I think it was from the newsletter database hacks out there somewhere. It will take some time to do this. Of course, I would need to implement my RoboForm to go, and since the YubiKey will be with it, I might have to use a weaker, memorable password until RoboForm supports Yubi or there is a multi-authentication included with it. Thank you, Eric. Eric, I really appreciate that. And I know Winston Wolf, when he hears this, will like the recommendation for YubiKey because that's who turned me on to that. And I have a client that has embraced YubiKey for their passwords for the entire true crypted whole disk encryption of all of their computers. So they need that YubiKey to enter the encryption password. And then we have the second password be a long network password. Between that and the TrueCrypt, they are ready for any auditor. Bring them on for all of their compliances. It's great. If you or any family member or friend, anyone you know, purchases from Amazon, send them to amazon.mikenation.net or miketechshow.com/amazon to make their purchase, and that will contribute to the Mike Tech Show. A small commission is generated. Your price stays the same. You're going to be buying there from Amazon anyway. Why not help me out with the show? I really appreciate everybody's support using Amazon and your support for the show. I can't tell you how much I appreciate that. With that, I have some music and I dug deep. It's a song that I personally like. It's a special version that was recorded a long time ago at the Sonic Studios in Philadelphia. It's the acoustic version of the song Save Tonight and the group Eagle Eye Cherry. Give a listen and then I'll be back to wrap up.
Yeah. Nice little Sunday vibe.
Curtains, 'cause all we need is candlelight, you and me, and a bottle of wine, gonna hold you tonight, ah yeah. Well, we know I'm going away, and how I wish it weren't so. So take this wine and drink with me. Let's delay our misery and save tonight. Fight the break of dawn, come tomorrow. Tomorrow I'll be gone, save tonight. Fight the break of dawn, come tomorrow. Tomorrow I'll be gone. There's a log on the fire, and it burns like me for you. Tomorrow comes with one desire, to take me away. Ah, well, it's true, it ain't easy to say goodbye. Darling, please don't start to cry. 'Cause girl, you know I got to go. Oh, Lord, I wish it wasn't so. Save tonight. Fight the break of dawn, come tomorrow. Tomorrow I'll be gone, save tonight. Fight the break of dawn, come tomorrow. Tomorrow I'll be gone, yeah. Tomorrow comes to take me away. I wish that I could stay. But girl, you know I got to go. Oh, Lord, I wish it wasn't so. Sing tonight and fight the break of dawn. Come tomorrow. Tomorrow I'll be gone. Sing tonight. Fight the break of dawn, come tomorrow. Tomorrow I'll be gone, I'm telling you now. Tomorrow I'll be gone, girl, I'm telling you now. Tomorrow I'll be gone, oh, I wish I could stay.
Tomorrow I'll be gone.
Oh, I'm going away now, I'm going away.
Sing tonight.
Thanks a lot. This is exactly what I want to do on a Sunday. Sit around and play some tunes. This is very cool. Thank you.
And that was Save Tonight, Eagle Eye Cherry. And I like that acoustic version. I want to thank everybody for staying subscribed, joining me, downloading the show, and spreading the word, and using the Amazon link, and participating. I really appreciate it. Thank you so much, and I will be back same time, same channel next week. Bye-bye, everybody.
You've been listening to The Mike Tech Show, a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Please visit techpodcast.com.